I'm thankful for technology that allows me to be here with you this morning. And I want to thank Simon and the executive and the music group and our Sunday morning volunteers this morning, everyone who's worked today so that I don't have to, so that I could take a week off and a Sunday off as well. But I'm glad that I can be here through this recorded version to complete this sermon series that we started in Lent. For the last 5 weeks in the season of Lent, we've been looking at not only how we can abide in God's word, but how to engage it in a fresh new way, how we can learn to love the word, learn the word and live the word together, how as individual believers and as the body of Christ together, we can stand on the absolute authority of the word of God. And so we've looked at 7 reasons why we can trust the Bible, 6 ways God's word changes us, 3 things we can do to feed on God's word. Last Sunday, we looked at 6 tests and 7 steps for Bible-based decision-making. And if you missed any of these sermons, they are on our website under the sermon section. This morning, I want to conclude this series by looking at what I believe is most important when it comes to the Bible. And that is integrating God's word, integrating the Bible into our everyday lives. As I've said many times in this series, the Bible is more than just a book. It's more than just ancient words on a page. The Bible is living and active. It has the power, if we let it, to change and transform us, to be one of the main tools that the Holy Spirit uses in that process of sanctification, whereby we are made into the very image of Jesus. Of course, you'll remember the quote that we looked at many times in this series by the preacher D.L. Moody, who writes, "The Bible wasn't given to increase our knowledge. The Bible was given to change our lives." And so the ultimate goal of reading, listening to, studying, memorizing, meditating on Scripture is application, living it out in our everyday lives, in the places where we live and move and have our being. I think we see this in verse 22 of our reading this morning from the book of James that Anne just read for us. James writes, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, who deceive themselves." James tells us that we need to welcome God's word with meekness. Right? We need to be open to God's word and to approach it from a place of humility and not pride. He says that if we hear God's word and don't allow it to impact our lives, we're just deceiving ourselves. We're kind of wasting our time. However, if we look into God's word, what James describes as God's perfect law of liberty, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, James says, will be blessed. In other words, the Bible needs to have its full effect on us. Again, D.L. Moody writes, "Many people have the Bible in their heads or in their pockets or maybe on their cell phones, but we need to get it down in our hearts and in our lives." I like that. Many people have the Bible in their heads or in their pockets, but we need to get it down in our hearts and live it out in our lives. I think another way I could put this is we need to seek then to integrate God's word into our daily life. Now that word, integrate, like integrity, comes from the Latin integer, which means consistent, whole, complete. It means that our lives aren't compartmentalized. It means being authentic, walking the walk, and not just talking the talk. Now, this isn't always easy to do in a world that teaches us to divide our lives into segments, right? This is my work life and my home life and my religious or spiritual life, and this is my recreational life. Being integrated means that all of these lives overact and that I'm the same person, no matter where I am or who I'm with or what I'm doing. Now, integrity is different from honesty. I think you can be honest in one area of your life and dishonest in another. Integrity, however, is all about wholeness, about completion. It involves every area of our lives and all that we do. And so this morning, I want to look at 4 things that we can do to integrate God's word into our lives. 4 things that can help us, as James says, to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And I pray that as we seek to do these four things, as we seek to follow these four things, that as James says, we will be blessed. And we will come to know the word more, to love the word more, and to live the word more. So number one, if I want to be a doer of the word, I need to build on it. I need to build on it. In other words, I need to take what I've read in the Bible and make it the foundation of my life. Now, I think Jesus addresses this in Matthew chapter 7, telling us that we need to choose whether we will build our lives on solid ground or on shifting sand. Now, the world, I think, is only too quick to provide us with foundations, things that we can build our lives on. Let me share four of the most popular or common ones. Option number one is pop culture. If everyone is doing it, it must be right. Now, the problem with this foundation, with pop culture, as I said last week, is that pop culture is constantly changing, right? What is popular today is going to be unpopular tomorrow, right? What's in style today will be out of style tomorrow. What's hip and cool today won't be hip and cool tomorrow. And really, just because everyone else is doing it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. As we read in Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Option number two is tradition. That's the way I've always done it. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, traditions aren't bad in and of themselves. And as a lifelong Anglican, I have to admit that there is a certain amount of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it within me. However, the problem with tradition is we can get so caught up in it that we're unable to see when it's broken or when it needs to be fixed. And as good as traditions are, they never take precedence over God's word. Jesus says in Mark 7, verse 8, you abandon the commandments of God to follow human traditions. Now, whenever we put our traditions ahead of God's truth, we get ourselves into trouble. Option number three, reason. If it makes sense logically, it must be right. Now, I'm not one of those people who think that we need to check our brains at the doors when we come to church. I mean, God has blessed us with an intellect. He's blessed us with reason. However, we need to understand that our human reason, our intellect, like the rest of us, is subject to the fall. And therefore, it's not always right. Right? As we read in Proverbs 15:25, sometimes there is a way that seems to be right, but in the end, it is the way to death. How many times have you made a decision that you thought was reasonable and right and good, but it turned out to be an absolute disaster? Right? I'm sure we've all done this at least once in our life. I mean, we're not Mr. Spock. And just because something appears to be logical doesn't mean that it really is. So we have pop culture, tradition, human reason, and option number four, emotions. If it feels right, do it. Right? We live in a culture that is dominated by emotions and feelings. But as you know, the problem is our feelings aren't always reliable. They can deceive us. They can tend to cater to our wants and desires. They tell us what we want to think sometimes and not necessarily what is right or good for us. Our feelings can also be fickle. And they're quick to change depending on the circumstances. So when we build our lives on feelings or emotions, we can be manipulated by our moods, self-serving and immature. Judges 21 verse 25 reads, at that time there was no king in Israel, and people did whatever they felt like doing. We know how that ended, and not a lot has changed in 5,000 years. See, the world is only too quick to provide us with foundations to build our lives on. However, to build on these options is to build on shifting sand. As Jesus says in Matthew 7:26, And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Great was its fall. Instead of building our lives on the things of this world, on shifting sand, on things that won't last, we need to build them on a solid ground, on a solid foundation. And God's word provides that solid foundation. Because unlike the ways of the world, God's truth never changes. God's word never changes. And as I said last week, I'm referring to the moral truth contained in the Bible. The basic principles about how to live in relationship with each other. Principles like love your neighbor as yourself. Give and it will be given to you. Right? Forgive as you have been forgiven. Blessed be the meek, the humble, the poor. Care for the widow, the orphan, and the outcast. Popular opinion changes, but God's truth doesn't. And if we build our lives on it, we will be able to withstand the storms of life. As Jesus says in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 25, therefore, anyone who hears what I say and obeys it will be like a wise person who built a house on rock. Rain poured and floods came. Winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not collapse because its foundation was on rock. I mean, the reality is we all build our lives on something. And so the question is, are we building on a foundation that can withstand the storms of life? Are we building on solid ground, or are we building on shifting sand? Being a doer of the word is praying, Lord, I might not always understand your word. I might not always agree with it. I might not always like it, but I'm going to choose to build my life on it because I know and I trust that it's the truth, that it is a solid foundation. So if we want to be a doer of the word, we need to build on it. Number two, if I want to be a doer of the word, I need to feed on it. Now, I need to confess that we looked at this part in great detail a few weeks ago. And so this is going to be a review, but I think it's important to come back to it. I remember that quote that I used by St. Augustine. Divine scripture is the feast of wisdom, and the individual books are the various dishes. At several places in the Bible, God's word is described as spiritual food. And it's compared to the water, the milk, the bread, the meat, the wine, the honey of the spiritual life. Everything that we need for spiritual sustenance. Everything we need to be spiritually strong. However, in order to get this sustenance, we need to feed on it. Or as the Book of Common Prayer puts it, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it. See, I don't know about you, but I can get so preoccupied with the busyness of life and the things that I have to do that I don't have time. I forget to feed on God's word. But just as our bodies need physical food every day to grow and to be healthy, we need spiritual food every day. Paul puts it this way in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I like that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, let it move into you, right? That Greek word for dwell means to inhabit, to tabernacle, to pitch a tent, right? Let the word of God move into you, inhabit you, take up residence in you in a rich, profound, life-giving way. And how do we do this? How do we feed on God's word so that it dwells in us? Well, number one, we receive it with our ears. We receive it with our ears. Romans 10:17 reads, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. We hear God's word with our ears when we commit to coming to church and listening to it being read and preached. Every day, we are bombarded by sounds and noises, by things competing for our time and attention. And so it's that much more important that we get God's word into our ears. Number two, we read it with our eyes. We read it with our eyes. Psalm 119, verse 15 reads, I will study your commandments and fix my eyes on your ways. I will study your commandments and fix my eyes on your ways. A Bible isn't of any use if it just sits on the shelf. Right? It needs to be read. Remember what I said a few weeks ago. If the Bible is to get into us, we must get into the Bible. We need to read it with our eyes. Number three, research it with our hands. Psalm 119, verse 130 reads, the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding, even to the simple. Now, as I said to you before, the difference between reading the Bible devotionally and studying it is that when we study the Bible, we have a pen and pencil in hand, right? We write things down. We observe, we interpret, we correlate, we apply what we've read. We seek out commentaries and Bible dictionaries and biblical maps, and we listen to sermons and podcasts and blogs, right? We reflect on it in our minds and we think about it. And we research it with our hands. And sorry, number four, reflect on it with our minds. In other words, we need to meditate on it. We need to meditate on it. We need to think about what we just read in God's word, right? We need to let it percolate in us so that it can take root in our lives and have an effect. James 1:25 reads, the person who continues to study God's perfect teachings that make people free and who remains committed to them will be blessed. So we reflect on it with our mind. And finally, number five, we need to remember it with our heart. Remember it with our heart. Now, nothing can do more for our spiritual life than to develop the habit of memorizing scripture. Now, I'm not suggesting you memorize the entire Bible, but if you want to try, go ahead. But to memorize those key passages that are important to you, those passages that contain the promises of God, those passages that tell us about the hope and the life that we have in him, no matter what is happening, passages like the mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. So says the Lord who loves you. Or passages like, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Those passages that can give us strength in times of weakness, hope in times of hopelessness, faith in times of fear. In Psalm 119, verse 11, we read, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? Remembering key verses from the Bible can help fight temptation, worry, impatience. It can help us share our faith with other people or articulate what we believe and why. It can develop and heighten our prayer life. Being a doer of the word is praying, Lord, help me to feed on your word every day, that it might strengthen and sustain me, spirit, soul, and body. So if I want to be a doer of the word, I need to feed on it. Number three, if I want to be a doer of the word, I need to live by it. I need to live by it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's God's word that is going to give us hope in times of crisis. It's God's word that will give us comfort in times of despair. It's God's word that will give us strength when we feel weak. It's God's word that will give us wisdom when we're confused. It's God's word that will give us guidance when we're lost. And it's God's word that will give us the power to resist temptation, as I've already said. But God's word isn't just food for our soul, our spirit. It's also a standard for living, like the standard by which we judge and view everything else in our life. The standard through which we view the world around us, right? Our circumstances and other people, and the standard by which we make decisions, as we learned last week, and prioritize our life. Psalm number 1, verse 1, right at the beginning, reads, "Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but who meditates on the word of God." We need to live with discernment and not automatically accept what others tell us or what the world values as truth. We need to decide whose counsel we're going to take. Are we going to walk in the counsel of the world, the ungodly, or are we going to walk in God's counsel? But just because it's on television or because everyone's doing it doesn't mean that it's necessarily right or true or good or beneficial. Check it against your standard, right? Ask yourself, how does this measure up with God's word? Right? Does this line up with God's kingdom or the world's kingdom? Is it something that has stood the test of time, like the truth of God, or is it just a passing fad? In the Message translation of John 7:24, Jesus says, "Don't be nitpickers, but use your head and heart to discern what is right, to test what is authentically true." I love that. Don't be nitpickers, but use your head and your heart to discern what is right, to test what is authentically true. I mean, we're not called to be cynics or skeptics. We're not called to run around and talk about how awful the world is. We're called to use the brain that God has given us to discern his will in every situation we find ourselves in, right? To seek his kingdom and his righteousness first and foremost, to hunger for his wisdom and not the wisdom of the world. Philippians 1:27 reads, "Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Right? Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. As followers of Jesus, we are called to live by a different standard. That is very clear. To swim against the stream. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. Being a doer of the word is praying, "Lord, help me to pattern my life after yours, to measure myself by your standards and not the world's standards. Help me to swim against the stream and to live as you would have me live." So if I want to be a doer of the word, I need to build on it. I need to feed on it. I need to live by it. And lastly, number 4, I need to grow through it. If I want to be a doer of the word, I need to grow through it. Now, a few weeks ago, I told you that God's word was like a seed planted in our hearts that produces fruit in our lives. However, in order for this to happen, right, in order to see this fruit, we need to have good soil, right? We need to have receptive soil. We need to have an open and receptive heart so that God's word can take root within us. Now, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells a story about a farmer who sows seed in 4 different kinds of soil and gets 4 very different results. I like to think that these 4 soils represent the different attitudes that we can have to God's word, depending on our circumstances. And so as I read these, I want you to note the attitudes that you can relate to. So soil number 1 is the hardened soil. Now, the hardened soil represents a closed heart and a closed mind. And what I mean by that is sometimes we don't give God a chance. We don't care what the Bible has to say about a particular subject because our hearts are hardened and we're not willing to listen. Right? Our minds are already made up. We already know what we want to do and what we're going to do. However, if we want God's word to take root, we need to cultivate an open heart and an open mind to receive that seed. Or it's not going to penetrate. It's not going to get in. Soil number 2 is the shallow soil. the shallow soil. Now, this represents the superficial heart and the superficial mind. Sometimes we react superficially to the Bible, right? We read something in the Bible, we're all excited about it, or we hear to church and or we go to church and we hear a good sermon and we're excited about it, but then we kind of forget about it once we go about our day, right? We get excited, we act emotionally, but we don't give the word time to sink in, right? We don't give it time to penetrate the bedrock of our personality, of our hearts and our minds, and to take root. And so it really doesn't last. However, if we want God's word to take root, we need to let it go deeper, right? We need to make time for it. We can't have shallow soil. It needs to go deep. Soil number three. This is the soil with the weeds. Now, this soil represents a preoccupied heart and a preoccupied mind, or an overbusy heart, an overbusy mind. Right? God's word is sown. It takes root in our soil. However, we're so preoccupied with the business of life and everything we have to do that God's word gets choked out and it dies. There's no room for it to grow. But if we want God's word to take root, we need to eliminate the distractions. We need to be aggressive, pull out those weeds. And lastly, number four is the good soil, the good soil. Now, this represents, of course, a willing and an open heart and an open mind. Now, when we have this kind of soil, the seed of God's word, the seed of God's truth is planted. It's proclaimed, it's preached, it's read into our open heart and through our open mind, and it's allowed to take root. And it's nurtured, and it grows, and it develops, and it's cared for and tended to. And it eventually bears fruit in our lives, right? And as Jesus says, a tree is known by its fruit. So what kind of fruit do you have in your life? Does the fruit of your life bear witness to the fact that the seed of God's word has been planted in you, has found good soil, has been allowed to take root and to grow and to blossom into something beautiful, not for you and your glory, but for God and for his glory? Now, Paul takes this metaphor of roots growing down deep, and he flips it upside down in Colossians 2, verse 6. He says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep in him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught." See, in this metaphor here, Jesus is the soil, right? And we are the roots growing down spiritually, being rooted and being grounded in him, drawing our very life from Jesus, not from the world or anything else. And as Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches, and apart from me, you can do nothing," right? Over and over again, the New Testament says we are totally 100% dependent on Jesus and his word for our life. So whichever metaphor you use, it's all about growth, and it's all about growth in Christ. The work is his. The work is that of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. Being a doer of the word is praying, "Lord, prepare my heart, prepare my mind, prepare my life to receive your word. Clear away anything within me that keeps it from taking root and bearing fruit in my life." So James writes, "But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing." Friends, the Bible is more than just a book. Right? In it, we find timeless, tried, and tested truth that can instruct us, teach us, show us the way to freedom. We find time-tested truth that the Holy Spirit uses to change us and to mold us into the very likeness of Jesus. And so therefore, as followers of Jesus, we're called to do more than just read the Bible. We're called to integrate it into our everyday lives. We're called to build on it as a solid foundation, to feed on it as spiritual food, to live by it and to grow through it. We're called to be doers of the word and not just hearers. We're called to allow the Bible to have its full effect on us, to change and transform us from the inside out, so that it has a positive impact on how we live our lives, on what we think, say, or do. And so that we live our lives with that aroma of Christ all around us, so that when people encounter us, they just know that there's something different. And according to James, when this happens, when we seek to be doers of the word and not just hearers, when we seek to stand on God's word, when we believe that it's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, we'll be blessed. The Bible, friends, it's living and active. And as followers of Jesus, we're called to stand on God's word. The question that we have to ask ourselves every day and in every situation we find ourselves and before every decision we make, before we ever open our mouths, is will I? Will I stand on God's word? Will I submit myself to the ultimate authority of the Bible and the word of God? Will I? Will you? Amen.